I've spoken before of how I like doing question and answer sessions with young people, but I had an interesting opportunity this last Monday in that one of my nephews, my oldest nephew, who's a senior in high school, he goes to a Catholic school in Covington, Kentucky, and he had to do a project where he interviewed a priest or a religious sister or brother, and so I got to be interviewed by my nephew. I did a little question and answer with him. He asked if he could ask some questions about my vocation. I said, yeah, sure, would love to. So we had a little phone conversation on Monday. He said, it should be pretty straightforward, no longer than a half hour. I've got 21 questions here. Like, oh my gosh. And they were questions, I think, just given to him by his teacher. And some of them made us laugh. I'm like, wow, they really ask that? One of them, he said, I think I know the answer to this one. Did you have a wild or rebellious youth? I said, no, I was a pretty good kid growing up. And then he said, well, this one's kind of a loaded question. Is there anything that the church teaches that you don't believe? Whoa, what are they getting at here? He said, I'm really glad that I'm asking you and not some strange priest that I have no idea who he is. And then he asked another one. He said, do you ever get tired of being a priest? I had half a mind to say, go ask your parents if they ever get tired of being parents. But I explained to him a distinction. I don't get tired of being a priest. I certainly get tired from being a priest. I think that comes with any of our vocations, any of the missions that we do in life. When we're doing it right, we should be tired. We should be spent. Our lives should be poured out. So I get tired from being a priest, but I've never been tired of being a priest. Even yesterday, we had that early morning mass here at 6:30. And then I did things all throughout the day and ended helping with a retreat down in Prior Lake in the evening. And I was up till about midnight here at 6:30 a.m. for mass and up doing ministry all throughout the day. And I was tired when I went to bed. But I'm sure parents are tired too when they get awakened in the middle of the night when they have sleepless hours. We get tired when our lives are poured out. And I want to teach you a word. This is a Greek word that means being poured out. It's kenosis. Kenosis is the word for a person when they've been spent and completely poured out for others. And of course, this is demonstrated most excellently by our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, when he spent his life and poured it out on the cross, that was a kenotic moment, an emptying of himself. He was spent for us, and it was actually the reason that he came. We hear about this in the letter to the Hebrews tonight. We heard, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The author of this letter tells us Jesus was made perfect by what he suffered. You might ask the question, wait a minute, Jesus had to be made perfect? Wasn't he already perfect when he came here? I mean, he's God. What's he lacking? But I'll teach you another word. This word perfect used in the letter to the Hebrews is another Greek word. It's telos. And telos means it was Jesus's purpose. And so he fulfilled, he completed, he accomplished his purpose by what he suffered, by his kenosis, by his being poured out and emptying himself. That was his telos. That was his mission. And so when he accomplished it, he was made perfect because he had done everything the Father had asked of him. And we see an image of this in the gospel today in this back and forth that he has with his disciples. He talks to them about his mission and about how it's coming to an end. He said to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." We hear all throughout the Gospel of John about Jesus' hour. At the beginning of the Gospel, he keeps saying, "My hour has not yet come. It's not my hour. It's not my time." And then here at chapter 12, there's a turning point in the Gospel. And Jesus says, "The hour has come. It's now my time to be glorified." And he's glorified not in ways that we might think. He's glorified by accomplishing his mission, by being made perfect, by suffering, by dying. That's why he tells this little image here. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Jesus was showing us this example by his own life, by his own death. That had he not died, had he not accomplished his mission, what fruit would there have been in that? He would have just remained a single grain of wheat. But it's because he died that much fruit has been born. And what is the fruit of Jesus' telos? What's the fruit of his passion, death, and resurrection? The fruit of that is our salvation. Had he not died, had he not gone into the earth like that seed, we would have never been saved. It's because the seed dies, this grain of wheat, that gives its life in being poured out, in being emptied. That's why we're able to enjoy the fruit of our salvation. And brothers and sisters, we're able to touch this and taste this and actually be incorporated into it. In my priesthood, in your lived vocations, we are incorporated into the Paschal mystery. We get tired from doing our missions. And in this, we are incorporated into our Lord's passion. We too are perfected. We too, when we are poured out, are made perfect and accomplish the mission that was given to us. At my ordination, I was able to kneel in front of Archbishop Hebda at the cathedral just about 4 years ago. This is right after I had been ordained in the service, and I'm kneeling in front of him, and he places a chalice in one of my hands filled with wine, and he places a paten in the other hand with bread in it. And he said these words to me, "Imitate what you celebrate and conform your life to the cross." I think those words could be said to each of us. Imitate what you celebrate and conform your life to the cross. What do we celebrate here in the Mass? What do we celebrate here at the altar? It's grains of wheat and grapes that are poured out, that are crushed, that give of themselves to form a new reality, bread and wine. And then those elements give themselves to form another reality, the body and the blood of our Lord. This is what we're meant to imitate in our celebration of the Eucharist. That we too would be given to others as this Eucharistic Lord is given to us. the species, the bread and the wine, the wheat and the grapes. This is what we're meant to participate in and to celebrate and to imitate, that enaction, a reenaction of the cross in our Lord's sacrifice. We are seeds. We are grains of wheat. And when we're poured out in imitation of our Lord and his paschal mystery, we can bear much fruit. But first we must die. We must give of ourselves. We must be emptied so that we can accomplish the mission for which Christ has ordained us.